listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
One of the things that happens when you're working with lots of relationships is that you hear the same complaints over and over. One of the complaints I've heard repeatedly over the years is we fight all the time. But the second piece is that we keep having the same arguments. So here we are watching relationships where they're fighting all the time, and yet the same argument comes up, which tells me that nothing is changing in the relationship. In other words, they're having conflicts, but they're not getting to anywhere different. They're stuck in the same pattern, the same dance steps in that dance of arguing that they always get to. In fact, one of the telling questions I have for couples is, tell me about the first fight you had, the first real fight you had. It wasn't just a little disagreement about where to eat or the movie to watch, but that first real conflict you had. Almost always, the conflicts they're having now are in some way still related to that conflict. In other words, even the first big conflict wasn't solved, much less all the ones that followed up. The reason is because they're stuck in a pattern of arguing, that most of our conflicts now are held in the midst of an argument. So what exactly is an argument? Well, here's my definition. Two different people with two different viewpoints trying to convince the other person to see it their way. And the chance of success of an argument? Almost zero, because the two people are both trying to convince each other that they're right and that the other person is wrong. So they're at a dead end because neither person wants to give in. Neither person wants to admit that the way they see it is wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't recognize that we're wrong and we move over, but many times we're unwilling to use an argument to try to make progress. Instead, we're using the argument as a way of winning. So here's the problem. We go about conflict wrong, especially in marriage. We are out to win, to get the person to see things right. By the way, seeing things right is seeing things from our viewpoint. That's the problem. We have as the right focus, our right view, right? And so we're trying to get a person to cross over from where they see things to see it from our perspective. Now, if you were to think about it, you would recognize readily that you don't always have the right perspective, but we forget that in everyday life. If you thought you had the wrong perspective, you would change your perspective. So it only makes sense that you're holding on to a perspective you think is true most of the time. You might recognize as I'm talking about it that it's probably not correct. It's probably not entirely correct. You might even admit that there are some other ways of seeing things, but in the middle of a conflict, you fail to remember that. We all fail to remember that. A few years back, I remember my wife and I were having one of those arguments, and it was an argument that was over nothing helpful, nothing that was going to make a long-term difference, but we were arguing about it. And one of my things is having to recognize it for myself. Sometimes I get so invested in the argument that it's hard to let go. And so I violate what I consider to be this immutable law of marriage. What is that immutable law? The goal of conflict is progress. The goal of conflict is always to make progress. So there we were in the kitchen having an argument. And it was, as my wife and I usually do, not a loud argument, but it was an argument. And we were both getting frustrated with the other person refusing to hear what was right and refusing to see what made sense to each of us, our own perspective. At some point, my wife had to go off to do something. I don't remember even what it was at that point, but she left to go take care of that. And I was standing there in my mind, still running through the conflict, still in the middle of the argument. And I realized that I had another point to make. And I felt like if I could just make that one point, she would see that I was right and she would come over to my side. Isn't that how we always do arguments? And so I did what made the most sense to me at that moment. I followed her to let her know what had just occurred to me, that if she just heard this one piece, she would change her mind. And so she was off doing something else, and I approached her, and I started to talk, and she turned around, and she said, "Before you say anything, I want to ask you something. We have committed to spending the rest of our lives together. Is what you're about to say going to help us at all if that's our goal? I stopped. I was silent. I thought about it, and I knew she was right. The argument we were having had nothing to do with our long-term success in life or our happiness. It was simply two people with two different opinions trying to convince the other person to come and see it the right way. And it was going to do nothing to move us to the next point. Now, the point of our argument might have been something that needed to be resolved, but the way we were going about it was not about progress. It was about winning. That's the problem with conflict. Conflict is based in a model that we have about winning, not progress. But think about that shift in perspective. If a marriage is really about a long-term commitment to each other to endure the tough times and to enjoy the great times, to come together as a team, to be a we, as I've talked about, to have connection, to have all of those pieces that we've talked about, that the fact is we all bring our issues into the marriage. The fact is we all have these fears. The fact is that we can't just pause a relationship. And the fact is that we need to move forward together in that process. Conflict ends up being one of those places where we can get stuck if we get caught in the place where we want to win every conflict. Now, it's human nature, and we are raised in environments that cause us to do that. I remember many struggles with my brother where I wanted so desperately to be on top, right? To win the argument, to win the fight, in fact, many times. So much so that it began to be about winning, not about making a better relationship, not about getting to a better place. And that's the problem. So if it's not about winning, but it's about making progress, how do we get there? Let me propose five different ways of getting to a better place. The first is viewpoint. We are not always talking about opposites. In fact, many times when I hear couples tell me that they are opposites, they really aren't opposites. But the fact is, whenever you have two points on any continuum, they are going to look like opposites no matter how close they are. I remember one point that I was talking with a couple and they were arguing about money. One said, "I'm the saver, that other person is the spender." And so I began to listen to their discussions about money, and here was their saving spender pattern. The saver felt like you should save 25% of everything you brought into the house, 25%. Now, many families can't save any. In fact, they negatively save. They spend more than they receive. This person had actively been saving 25% of what was brought into the house. The other person believed that 20% was a better number, 20%. We're not talking about someone who believed you should save all of your money and the other person believing you should spend all of your money, but we were talking about people who were fairly close to each other and yet it felt like opposites. One wanted to save one quarter of what was coming into the house and the other wanted to only save, and I use that term loosely, one-fifth of what came into the household. And yet, because they were two points on the continuum, they felt like opposites. I had to explain that both of them were very well in the same ballpark. They just had quite a different number, about a five-point spread between them that we needed to figure out and negotiate and make progress on. And so we began to delve into how we get to a better place. And they both were financially healthy, but relationally poor because they kept struggling over the same thing. Both were saving, but one saved a little bit less and therefore was the opposite perspective. We are not always at opposites. In fact, I've noticed that most couples really and truly are not at opposites. It just feels that way because whenever there are those two points, it can look like an opposite to the people on the inside. Sometimes I've watched people even struggle over, you know, I want blue and the other person wants green. We are just so different. And I'm sitting there thinking blue and green are at least on the same side of the color spectrum. The only difference is the yellow, and yet it felt like opposites for them. So when viewed again, not from the opposites, but as a difference in perspective, it begins to be easier to make progress. If you're dealing with something as opposites, you end up playing tug of war. But what if you instead interpret it as a different in perspective? What we're talking about is a different viewpoint, a different perspective, not opposites. That changes a little bit. Suddenly, we're not opposed to each other. We're just at different points of perspective. And that's a different viewpoint than what that opposite is. So the first change is viewpoint. Recognize that you probably aren't truly opposites. You're at just different points, different viewpoints, different perspectives on a continuum. And that's okay. The second thing is to remember the priority. And the priority here is the relationship. When we are ranking all of the issues, the struggles and everything else, then the number one thing is still the relationship, the we. And so when we change our priority, it's no longer about winning. It's no longer about proving a point. It's about preserving the we. And sometimes that ends the argument right off. You recognize that the argument has no bearing on the long-term success of the relationship and has no bearing on what's going to happen. But sometimes you recognize that something still has to be done. Something has to be solved. Something has to be decided. When you do that, I suggest you work at it from a we perspective. Instead of asking the question, is this good for me or is it good for you, which is a binary choice between you and me or you versus me, ask what would be good for us? What would be good for the we? Often that's a very creative difference in viewpoint, and it works on lots of different areas. For instance, I've had people say, you know, I've got this job opportunity, but if I take it, here's what I get and here's what my spouse loses. If I don't take it, here's what I lose and here's what my spouse gets. In other words, it's do I win or do you win? It's a, am I getting my way or are you getting your way? Who's coming out on top? And I always ask the third question, and there's always a third question. What's good for us? What's good for the we? What would be best for us in this process? So adopt a priority of the relationship. Whenever you're finding yourself being pulled into conflict, focus on the relationship as the priority of what needs to come out of the conflict. What needs to come out is two people together as a we, not destroyed, and focusing on making progress towards that goal, even using the conflict to get them there. The third one is very practical. It's about civility. This is not personal. No conflict needs to be made personal. It can be done with respect and courtesy. That's always a choice we're given. In fact, whenever we make it personal, you know that you've stepped into a fight-flight mode. You've stepped into an attack mode. You've stepped into winning as your goal. So use civility. Make sure that you don't make it personal. Use respect. You can always choose that. And use courtesy, letting each other take turns talking, making sure that you treat each other with respect and dignity that is fair for a long-term relationship. Number four, focus on the problem to be solved. This is the same as that don't make it personal. Focus on what does need to be solved. In fact, let me suggest that if you're in a habit of making the discussion personal, and lots of couples are, that one trick to doing that is to write down the focus of the problem. What needs to be solved? Write it down on an index card. What's interesting is how many times when people start to do that, they can't even figure out what needs to be solved, and yet they are locked into a conflict. If you can't figure out what you're fighting about, there's no reason to be fighting about it. It's just an exercise in conflict. So focus on the problem to be solved and write the issue on an index card. What do you do with that index card? You put it down between you, and every now and then you pick it up and ask, are we still talking about this? What you'll notice is sometimes you wander and bring in other topics, old history, old things that haven't ever been solved. That's dirty fighting because you're no longer fighting about what you were fighting about. You've pulled something else in to get your edge, to win. Make sure your focus is on what you're fighting about, what you're arguing about. Focus on the problem to be solved. Index card is just one way of breaking that habit, but make sure that is your focus. Number five, beware of the reptiles. Beware of the lizards in your brain, the lizards that live in your head. There is a part of the brain called the lizard brain or the reptilian brain, if you want to use the more scientific term, that really is something we share with everything that walks, crawls, slithers, and swims on the planet. That part of the brain is looking for threat. That part of the brain is not about connecting. It's about protecting. And it's protecting the self, the creature. So when we are not connecting and we're protecting, it doesn't matter who we take out. The lizard brain is what's responsible for our fight flight process. It is not relational. Remember this, it's not connecting, it's protecting, or it thinks it's protecting. Fight flight is when we're either going to win or we're going to get out of the way. When we're at that mode, it's no longer about making progress. It's no longer about solving an issue. It's only about winning the conflict or getting out of the way of the conflict. When we're in fight mode, we're taking it to the ground. And fight mode usually for couples means they start fighting dirty. They start calling names and pulling out the old stuff and talking about the other person's issues and then their family. And around it goes into an ugly dance where nobody's really going to win because everybody's out to win. Or they play get out of the way. So they avoid the conflict because that's just as bad. There are problems in a relationship that have to be solved. They have to be solved, not points of conflict. Whenever we're stuck on trying to find a point of conflict, rather than solving a problem, we're not going to be making progress. So watch for the lizards in your brain where they will stick you in a fight or flight mode. And by the way, if those lizards get activated, if you find yourself getting pulled into this win mode or get out of the way mode, the fight flight mode, you have to step back. And you might find that you and your spouse have to make an agreement that if you're getting too emotional, if you're starting to fight unfairly, if you're one of you is feeling like you've got to just completely flee the scene, you might want to take some time, just a half an hour breather to get back to a more regulated space. Scientists talk about an arousal in the body. An arousal is when your body is being pumped full of adrenaline because it's ready for the conflict. It's ready to take on the spouse, not to make progress, but to win. Whenever that happens, until the body returns to a non-aroused state, a calm state, until it returns to a normal state, it's going to be stuck in that fight-flight mode. It's not going to be about solving the problem. So you might have to find a way of saying to a spouse, hey, I'm not in a great place to discuss this. Can we come back to this in half an hour and see if we can solve this? When you come back in half an hour and solve it, see if you can focus on that index card. See if you can do it with civility, with respect and courtesy. See if you can make the relationship a priority and just make sure you recognize that this really is about viewpoint. Not about right or wrong, not about opposites, but viewpoint. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a thriving marriage as you work to save your relationship and make sure that you're not breaking one of those immutable laws of marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.